May I speak in the name of the living God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. I wonder what picture you have of Jesus, or how you tend to think of him. A few years ago, the Church Mission Society compiled a collection of images of Jesus from different cultures around the world, called The Christ We Share. Many of the images were inspired by different scenes in the Gospels, but also related to current issues in a particular culture. So I'm going to show you one of those images. Eddie's going to put it on the screen for us. Now, I wonder how you react. Probably it's not how you normally think of Jesus, and you may find it rather disturbing or even recoil from this picture. The picture is from the Philippines, and it's called The Angry Christ. The inspiration in the Gospels is the story we've just heard of Jesus cleansing the temple, but it was painted in the context of the abuse and exploitation of the Marcos regime in the Philippines. Christ is pictured as angry at the plight of those who are cruelly exploited by unscrupulous rulers and the wealthy elite. Now, although this image of Jesus as the angry Christ may not be the first one to come to our minds, we have to admit when we look closely at our gospel reading this morning that it does depict Jesus as very angry. This scene of Jesus cleansing the temple is found in all four of the Gospels, but John adds the detail that Jesus makes a whip of cords. And with that whip, he drives out the cattle and the sheep, the merchants and the money changers from the temple precincts, overturning their tables and pouring out all their money on the floor. Now, can you imagine if I started flipping over the chairs and tables and driving you all out of church, up to the church with a whip? I'm not sure what you would make of it. But that's the level of vehement anger that Jesus exhibits in this story. Now, of course, this is the very same Jesus who calls himself the Good Shepherd, who says he is gentle and humble of heart. This Jesus is full of anger, flipping over tables and driving people out of the temple with a whip. There is a terrific amount of energy and passion and fiery anger in this scene. Take these things out of here, Jesus says. Stop making my Father's house a marketplace. Jesus is angry because the area of the temple precincts, the very outer court of the temple, was the only area that the Gentiles were allowed to enter for worship. And this area has been turned into a marketplace, perhaps even a place of swindling and exploitation too. It would have been terrifically noisy and chaotic. There would have been intense, busy activity all day and every day, especially at the times of festivals. Literally thousands of priests would have been at work slaughtering animals for sacrifice. Imagine the noise and the chaos at the cattle, the sheep, and the doves, not to mention the crowds of people. It is hardly kept as a house for prayer. Jesus' actions and his words call to mind the prophets who often spoke and acted in passionate protest against both the exploitation of the poor and neglect of true worship. Jesus may have had in mind the prophecy from Zechariah proclaiming that on the day of the Lord there shall no longer be traders in the house of the Lord of hosts. Certainly, Jesus had a passionate longing that God's house would be a house of prayer for all nations, as Isaiah puts it, and the other gospel writers quote those words. John here recalls words from Psalm 69, "Zeal for your house will consume me." Jesus is angry, but he's not angry for himself, but on behalf of God and others. He is concerned for wholehearted worship of God and right treatment of others, which we know, as we heard in the Ten Commandments this morning, are God's will for his people. We are to worship only God, have no idols before him, and treat others as God would have us treat them. Jesus is angry that things are not just or right, and some people may have been exploited and certainly prevented from worshipping God in the temple. Let's reflect just for a few moments about anger this morning. Not all anger is bad. It's possible for anger to be righteous, as we see in Jesus. Anger can be right and good. I wonder how often we, like Jesus, are angry on behalf of others. Perhaps we need to be more angry about the suffering of others, the injustices and the cruelty and exploitation in our world, and the failures and corruptions of the church. Certainly, a calm indifference to the needs of others and a calm indifference about the failure to truly worship God is not a virtue. But let's think more. Yes, we do get angry. But if we're honest, our anger is seldom like the anger of Jesus. We don't tend to get angry on behalf of others, but on behalf of ourselves. We may become angry because we feel slighted, not taken seriously enough, or maybe someone has done something which has hurt us in some way. We feel affronted. Our anger is often to do with hurt pride, competing egos, being snubbed, or feeling we're not getting what we deserve. Hurt pride and a damaged ego can lead to a fiery, explosive anger or a cold, smouldering anger, depending on our personality. And then what happens when we burst out in anger against someone or we hold a grudging bitterness towards them? Often then, knowing we shouldn't have behaved in that way, we also become very angry with ourselves. And this can be the most subtle anger of all. After being irritable and cross and bad-tempered with others, we often compound that by becoming even more angry with ourselves. We are made cross by our failures. Our pride is hurt even further. Why couldn't we deal with that better? We are cross with ourselves because we haven't lived up to the image we like to have of ourselves. And if we're not careful, we can descend into a deeper and deeper spiral of anger, disappointment, and negativity. I don't know about you, but I certainly recognize that as true. Let me pass on some very wise words about dealing with anger, agitation, and disappointment, and resisting that downward spiral. They come from François de Sales, who was Bishop of Geneva in the 17th century and renowned for his very wise spiritual direction. Reading a collection of his letters of spiritual direction, I came across these words, which have come back to me again and again and again when I'm in a turmoil and terribly cross with myself. And I hope you might find them helpful too. He says, "Finally, don't be angry, or at least, don't be agitated over the fact you have been agitated. Don't be disturbed at having been disturbed. Don't be upset at the fact that these annoying emotions have upset you. But very gently, put your heart back into the hands of our Lord, begging him to heal it. Very gently, put your heart back into the hands of the Lord, begging him to heal it." We are to bring our self-concerned anger, our agitation and frustration to the Lord for his forgiveness and healing. Now, of course, we can only come before the Lord Jesus for healing because he is the Lord and more than a prophet. This was made clear in our gospel reading last Sunday and also in our gospel reading this morning. So let's go back to that gospel reading and the account of Jesus cleansing the temple. I said earlier that Jesus' words and actions follow in the way of the prophets. But John's account of Jesus cleansing the temple is about more than an angry prophetic protest. Jesus is asked, what sign can he show for doing this? What right does he have to do what he has done? And Jesus responds by saying, "Destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up. It's hard to translate the original Greek phrase, but scholars point out that Jesus doesn't in fact say that he will himself destroy the temple, but even if it is destroyed, he will raise it up. And the word here doesn't just mean rebuild, but raise up, which can refer to a building, but also speaks of resurrection. Jesus is, of course, not talking about rebuilding the destroyed temple in Jerusalem, but speaking of the resurrection of the temple of his body after it has been destroyed through death on the cross. This temple building, with all its busy activity and sacrifices, will be replaced by Christ himself, Christ crucified and risen. The temple for the Israelites is the place where God's glory dwells. Right at the beginning of John's Gospel, we're told that the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory. Jesus, the Word made flesh, is the temple where God's glory dwells. As one writer puts it, the flesh and blood of Jesus, this man, is the temple where God dwells in the fullness of grace and truth. So even if this temple, the flesh and blood, the body of Jesus, is destroyed through death, it will be raised up again. Jesus, crucified and risen, is right at the center of our faith. Now, of course, the disciples did not understand this to begin with. It's only after his resurrection that they begin to understand the implication of Jesus' words and actions, including his cleansing of the temple. Jesus, the Word made flesh, the beloved Son of God, full of grace and truth, is where we meet God. In him, we meet God. This is the heart of our faith, not our own power and wisdom, our own activities and goals, which can so easily become idols, but Christ crucified, the power of God, and the wisdom of God, as Paul puts it in our New Testament reading today. Every Sunday, as we celebrate the Eucharist, our worship is centered on Christ, crucified and risen. And it's through his broken body and blood, his death and resurrection, that we meet God. And as we come in worship before God, as we meet God in Jesus, we are to let go of our idols that we hold so dear, to pray for forgiveness for our failure to love God and our neighbours. Especially during this season of Lent, we ask for cleansing, just as Jesus cleansed the temple. So I invite you this morning, all of us, to bring our hurt pride and our anger towards others, our anger, frustration, and agitation with ourselves to God. Let's do that humbly, without any fuss or self-dramatizing or any self-justification. Let's also confess before God our complacency, our indifference, our lack of passionate concern for the needs of others, our lack of anger at the cruel injustices of our world. Through Christ, we bring to God the whole of ourselves, the good, the bad, the ugly, the angry, and the complacent. By his wounds, we are healed, and in him, we too will be raised up. Amen.